Now, ministers and the Attorney General are this weekend scrambling to come up with a policy response to assuage public anger at the institutional landlords crowding first-time buyers and families out of parts of the market in Dublin and commuter counties. I'm joined now by Pat Farrell, CEO of Irish Institutional Property, which represents large builders as well as those investment funds. Pat, you're very welcome.
Good afternoon, Katie, and to your listeners.
Pat, Housing Minister Dara O'Brien says he is bringing in measures to level the playing field for first-time buyers, and these measures will be brought to Cabinet on Tuesday. First of all, do you accept now that institutional property investors should not be bulk buying housing estates in the commuter belt?
Well, I already said quite clearly on prime time early in the week that I didn't stand over what happened in Maynooth, because I don't think anyone can defend a situation, nor would I indeed, where you know, buyers have a legitimate expectation that they plan to buy a house, they're led to believe that they're available for sale, and then they find that they have been bought in bulk. And no one defends that, and I certainly don't defend it.
Defend it in cases of apartment blocks?
Oh, absolutely. And
but are they not homes as well?
Well, the point about apartment blocks, and this has been really well communicated at this stage, is that apartment blocks, particularly in the city core in Dublin, cannot be built without a forward purchase agreement, which means that you have to have some arrangement in place before you can embark on a large-scale apartment development now in Dublin, whereby you have somebody that's going to fund it and buy it on block, because the cost of apartments, as we know, is highly, very expensive. And it's beyond the reach of any first-time buyers, because we know quite clearly with the central bank rules, the vast majority of first-time buyers, they will not be able to borrow the money needed to buy those. And they won't be funded either, because banks will not fund apartment blocks. They just simply will not fund them unless they can. You can demonstrate that there's a purchaser prepared to buy that block at the end of the transaction. Otherwise, you're carrying the cost for 3 or 4 years, which is the time it takes to build an apartment block.
Okay, let's go back to the housing estates in the commuter belt. You issued a statement on Friday saying that your members would support the idea of a percentage of houses in these estates being made available for purchase by first-time buyers and other individuals that you'd...
Like, yes.
What percentage would be acceptable?
I don't think you can be arbitrary about a percentage, because I've seen many cases in the past where you come up with hard and fast percentages and for different types of initiatives, and then they turn out to be not fit for purpose. I mean, if you take a town like Maynooth, it is a huge university campus. There's a huge amount of students living in and around Maynooth who want to be able to rent accommodation. By definition, they don't want to buy a property. They want accommodation for the period they'll be in university. And what they're looking for in a lot of cases is a house to rent. It's quite normal for a group of students to get together at a house. So if you look at a situation in this country where traditional landlords are exiting the market in droves and there's still a need for rental stock, then somebody has to be able to buy not just apartments but houses to put them into the rental market. We have a huge scarcity of both rental accommodation as well as houses to purchase in this country.
Okay. So what percentage would be acceptable, do you think?
You
mentioned that housing estate in Maynooth.
Well, I would have said, for example, that in say something like Maynooth, I would have said that the majority of the houses obviously should be available in those housing developments, specifically housing developments for sale to would-be homeowners. And then there should be able to be a portion left aside for investors. In this case, as I said, because of the fact that the traditional landlord is leaving the market.
Okay, so you're saying more than 50% should be...
That's probably a figure. But as I said, knock it down to one particular figure, because as I said, it will differ depending on the locations. And that can be easily dealt with, that you can look at these things on a case-by-case basis and decide. But as I said, I think generally the majority of houses in a housing estate should be available for first-time buyers where there's a demand there.
I presume, have you been lobbying hard in the last week now that you've been told that the ministers are moving to introduce sort of restriction?
We've made our views very clear. As I said, we issued our statement. We've made our pre-budget submission, which we would do every time of this year. And we've clearly pointed out time and time again that institutional investors are absolutely critical to the housing market in this country.
The market that we have now seen you intervene in.
No, but we are critical to the housing market in this country. Institutional investors are net contributors of houses for sale to first-time buyers and other homeowners in this country. That's a point that's often forgotten, but we are. The house builders that I represent are actually generating close to now about 50% of private market output, with the number of homes that they have under construction in the pipeline, about 12,000 houses. So we are part of the solution, not part of the problem.
But if you're buying up fully built estates, you are then part
of
the problem.
Katie, I mean, I think as somebody else wrote during the week, said emotion is not a policy. I mean, we have to put this in context. In the whole of the period that institutional investors have been involved in the Irish market since going back to about 2011, we've had this particular situation, a couple of hundred houses, in a situation where 20,000 houses are being built every year in this country. That represents 0.01% of the total stock of new housing
every
year.
Your own statement, Pat Farrell, says that 80% of the capital used to finance investment property in Ireland is from internationally backed institutional investors now. So do you understand when people see those kind of figures that you see so many references, and you can call it emotional references if you want, but people are talking about the land war and the discomfort at the idea that property ownership is increasingly falling into the hands of faceless funds and huge rents are being extracted from people by these landlords?
First of all, they're not faceless funds, because the fact of the matter is that those funds are backed by pension funds, which are the funds that actually provide for the pension provision for about 600,000 pension savers in this country, probably people like yourself, RTE Pension Fund. They have to invest in different asset classes, including property. And these are long-term pension funds with a long-term view who are looking for a yield of 3 to 5% per annum. So they're not faceless. And that's the reality of it. And when you mentioned about the fact of what the involvement of funds are here, we talked specifically about housing. And as I was saying, in this particular case, we're talking about a very small number of houses. This, to me, was an aberration. The weight of institutional money has been invested in apartment blocks for rental, which is badly needed, and which would not get built unless institutional investors were providing the funds to build those apartment
blocks.
But
you know that, and it's been said by many people over the last week as this debate has raged on, that what is the point of building apartments that people can't afford?
But the reality of cost of apartments, and this has been well debated and now generally understood, is such that the cost of providing apartments, which, by the way, we're obligated to build now in City Core, that's what the planning requirements call for, the cost of them means that they're outside the reach of many first-time buyers. That's a function of the central bank rules, and maybe that's a debate for it to be taken up in that arena, because that's the reality of it. Meanwhile, though, this property is needed for rental, and there's a huge demand for rental property. So this is not like, you know, rental property is bad, home ownership property is good. We need rental properties as well as properties that are for sale.
But I think isn't the issue that the rents are unaffordable as well? But let me move on, Pat Farrell, because I want to get a sense of how will the funds that you represent respond if there are if there is, as we're told, a suite of measures coming down the tracks in terms of planning rules and possibly stamp duty or changes in the tax treatment of funds.
I can't respond kind of to a hypothetical situation, but that I will say a few things. First of all, institutional funds are critical to the funding all of the infrastructure of this country, offices, retail, hospitality, and most particularly in this case, housing. We've already seen, and we issued a report during the week that showed it will cost about $9.5 billion every year to supply 30,000, 35,000 new homes in this country. The state can only supply $1.5 billion of that. Domestic lenders, and we already have two domestic lenders leaving the market as we speak, KBC and Ulster Bank, can supply another $1.5 billion. That means $6.3 billion has to come from some other source. And at the moment, the only other source is institutional capital. And institutional capital here in Ireland needs to be able to be operate in a competitive environment. If there are changes made to tax or other areas of that regime, then that leaves Ireland less competitive, and that poses a risk for Ireland in terms of its ability to continue.
So are you saying they'll move on?
Attracting this capital. What I'm saying is, because I can't speculate on what the government may do here, but that if measures, and I don't know what the measures will be, but that if measures are taken that have the effect of actually increasing taxes on institutional funds or making the environment here less attractive, that has consequences, because, you know, these funds are able to operate across all of the developed countries in the EU, And you know, they look at the landscape and decide whether it remains a competitive location to invest in.
And you're saying if they don't invest, nobody will invest, and these apartments won't get built at all.
Not alone apartments. I'm talking about houses as well. As I said, I represent some of the largest house builders in the state who are building thousands of houses. As I said, 12,000 homes in the pipeline over the next couple of years.
Okay, Pat Fart, we'll leave it there, and I'll put that to Owen O'Brien.
Well, first of all, I think
they'll pull out.
Pat has been, I think, very disingenuous about a number of things. So let's separate out two issues. First of all, it is unacceptable for any investor to be allowed to buy up residential developments that were clearly built for owner-occupiers, right? So we have to fix that. And I think, in fairness, I think all politicians recognise we have to find a fix to that. But for Pat
but
to say...
What about his point that there's people want to rent those houses
Let me make this clear. But for Pat to say that some of the categories of investors that he represents aren't directly responsible for overbidding for land, inflating development costs and creating the situation that he's described, where the all-in development cost of private sector apartments, for example, in Dublin City Centre, are beyond the reach of first-time buyers or indeed of renters, I think is burying his head in the sand. So we need two things. We need to hear very, very quickly from government what they're going to do, both on the tax side and on the planning side, to ensure houses or apartments that are being built to sell to individuals
What should they do?
So, in my view, it's very clear. On the planning side, a local authority should be able to say that up to 100% of a development should be either owner-occupier or rental or a mixture, depending on the local need. That's an eminently sensible thing to do.
Is it legally doable, though? Because we keep being told that we have this constitutional issue about property rights.
We do, although I think if you read Rachel Walsh, one of the country's most eminent constitutional law experts, professor of law in Trinity, writing in the Irish Times 2 weeks ago, she says if you do it right, it is possible. But also if you use the planning system, because planning is much more constitutionally robust, all future developments should have a requirement whereby the applicant actually states what the tenure mix is and then they can decide. But we also need tax movement on the tax front as well in terms of the egregious tax advantages that these funds have. But can I also say this, because there's an issue here which has been misrepresented by some industry investors. There are different types of private investors. We have far too many short-term, high-yield investors that are engaged in bidding wars, pushing up development costs and making housing, whether to rent or buy, unaffordable. We need to push those investors out of our market and attract, from the very outset, investors who want to have low-yield, long-term
development. The investor that Pat Farrell says he's representing, the pension funds.
The problem is Pat represents both, and we need to get rid of the bad ones because they're pushing up costs and making housing affordable, and we need to ensure that the ones that are going to come in and provide good quality stock for people to rent or buy are done. But we also need significantly increased public investment if we're going to have genuinely affordable homes for working people.
Which bit of that would you disagree with, Colin Brophy?
Well, I mean, obviously, the Cabinet is meeting on Tuesday, and all politicians made quite clear that they want to see something in this area. I think there will be, I've no doubt that Dara O'Brien is Minister and Pascal Donoghue is Minister in the Finance side. There'll be a set of proposals there. They'll get the balance right.
Are they grappling really with this, though? Because there's no indication at all of where this is going to land. At this point, there seems to be a lot of problems being talked about all these.
They're not grappling with it, they're working on it, and they have made it quite clear, and I heard the Minister being interviewed on Primetime, that they will have their proposals and they will strike the right balance, because one of the problems we have is while Owen does a very good job of sounding very balanced and everything when it comes to housing, he has a very ideological way of looking at it. She's a spokesperson for a party that's anti-home ownership in lots of ways.
Very much is a party.
I'm smart enough to see through you, Owen. So that's the problem that you don't like. It's your party that's denying people access to affordable homes.
Ten years in government, homes are less affordable today than they were before, and you're accusing me of being against home ownership. Please don't insult people's intelligence.
Owen, you did have a good run there. So let Colin Brophy
point in relation to that, because this is the classic Owen here. Owen and his party colleagues on the council in South Dublin County Council vote down housing.
That's not
so
true.
Is that nobody
That's
can get
true.
Access to housing until
Absolutely
his
not
party
true.
Is in
In
power.
Fact, it was Fine Gael that opposed the Clonburris SDZ, 8,000
so
homes.
Many
you voted it down and you appealed it to a
okay,
horse
you know
and horse.
So that he could
That's
make
just
decisions.
Lies,
I know what I'm going to bring in.
That's
okay, okay, I'm going to bring in Breed Smith here.
And Breed's party has a very bad record on this as well, by the way.
Okay, Breed.
Yeah, I'm not going to be provoked by Colm's emotion on this, and he's emotional in defence of his party, which has been in government since for the last decade and made a bags of every housing programme one after another, and the current one. And I thought it was very interesting listening to Mr. Farrell there. It's a bit like being in the Galway tent, a cyber Galway tent, because he's a former General Secretary of Fianna Fáil, a former CEO of the Banking Federation, and now he's the shrill for the cuckoos and the vultures and all of the investors.
And he's the representative now.
He's an obvious for them, and they're absolutely pushing housing accessibility, whether rental or purchase, beyond the reach of ordinary working people. Literally beyond their reach. We worked out last week, if you want to buy one of these so-called affordable homes in Dublin, according to Dara O'Brien, you would have to be two ministers on the salary of two ministers, a couple of two ministers on that sort of salary to be able to afford
true.
It. It is just out of reach of nurses, bus drivers, shop workers,
it's
teachers, even doctors will not be
Saying
able to afford the type of affordable housing
wrongly,
that they are talking about. And beyond that, to rent is just... It's just crazy. I have mates who are in their 40s moving back home with their parents because they cannot afford to rent in Dublin.
Can I put can
I make a point on this? Because this is the type of near claptrap we hear on a regular basis. And it
sounds like you're describing your own commentary,
and
Colm.
You know, we have affordable housing in the 212 to 260 something thousand
Where?
In South Dublin.
Where?
And made available. The type of housing.
How many will be delivered this year, Colm?
There would be more delivered.
How many will be delivered this year?
If you let me answer. There'd be a hell of a lot more delivered if South Dublin County Council's Sinn Féin councillors did not
vote down. Is going to deliver
you
this
voted
year.
Down 500 houses
not
in Talla. You did.
That's a lie.
Of which, basically, you voted down. You did, sorry. Your
we
councillors
didn't.
Voted
they
down
didn't,
500
Colm.
Houses in
That's
Talla.
That's not true.
Because you didn't like the ideological fact that some of them would be built in on the private side. And you said no. You voted down social housing
but
in your
you
own
have
constituency. You've objected to
some
19 people who could have had a social house in the next 12 months won't have it because ideologically you want it more.
We're actually getting calls from people who are annoyed with the talking over each other. So please, can we have just one voice? I have seen your objections on paper, Ona Brin. So you have objected. You have put in other proposals, but you
have
objected.
Let me be very clear. First of all, what Sinn Féin councillors in Talla voted against was the sale of land to a private developer, because it would mean that 80% of the homes would be beyond reach of most ordinary working people. We have never voted against housing.
We never voted against housing.
Secondly, with respect to social housing, not once in my life have I ever objected to any social housing in my local authority. Do I make proposals to improve and to increase the volume of social housing? Yes.
Do those proposals sometimes mean less houses get built?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. In fact, in the case of Lindisfarne, which is the one that's often quoted, Sinn Féin made a proposal to double the number of units. We tabled that as an amendment.
Knowing full well it would delay it 2 years.
No. That fell, and then our councillor supported the council proposition. That's good housing policy. Colm is a serial objector to housing in his own constituency, and has been.
Can we move on from this,
years.
Please? Okay.
Can I make one last comment? Because I didn't get in with all the shouting and roaring at each other. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have utterly dependent on the private investigators. They've eulogised them, they've made concessions to them, they've bent the laws, they've changed the tax rules, they've got rid of height restrictions, they've done everything to facilitate the private developers and investors. They've done nothing for public housing. When I say public housing, I mean housing that's accessible to ordinary workers. I grew up in a public housing estate. The estate was full of bus drivers, shop workers, butchers, bakers, whatever. We were ordinary workers growing up in an ordinary housing estate, and we had secure houses to live in for life at rents that we could afford. That's because housing was based on your income, not based on a private market that just drives up the profits for a handful of developers and investors.
Well, and Fianna Fáil is the one person who isn't here, so I know that Dara O'Brien will say that he is now driving forward with policies to address all of this in terms of affordable housing and
yes, and you know, there's a commitment in the programme for government. I believe we'll see tremendous changes through the Land Agency. I think it is important to recognise that even, you know, in terms of what's been done already, there has been actually building of social housing. There has been increase in building. We had a problem this year because we shut down building due to a pandemic. But there have been real, real growth in both bringing down the housing lists in terms of providing homes and in terms of meeting our targets. Have we done enough? No, we haven't. We obviously need to continue to do more.
I mean, you hear the anger out there, Colin Brophy.
Of course you hear the anger, because the anger is very real, because people want to see homes. But the thing we keep saying is that what we believe as a government and what Fine Gael believe as a party is that, rather unlike the other two people who are here today, who ideologically would stop certain type of homes being built for people, we will push ahead with building every single type of home we can to satisfy their need. We're not in a situation where we will use our local authority members.
Your former housing minister acknowledged that he didn't do enough. He didn't succeed.
No housing minister will ever do enough until we solve this problem completely. But I actually believe this government will solve this problem before the next election.
You're going to have Dara O'Brien in before your parliamentary party on Wednesday, which is a very unusual arrangement. Should he be wearing his hard hat when he goes in there?
No, not at all. And actually, fair dues to Dara, because Dara is actually going to be starting off a process of engagement which we're going to have in this government, whereby ministers of different parties will actually hopefully be attending.
We heard
PPs
last week that several of your colleagues in Fine Gael are gunning for him. They're pinning the current anger on him. What are you going to ask him?
Well, the first thing is that I don't think they are gunning for him. I don't think that in every political party, be it Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil or whatever, there's genuine concerns there about housing. We have a chance to engage with the Fine Gael ministers every week at the PP. I think it's a brilliant opportunity now to do this with Dara. So when it comes to Dara, I'll wait until our own PP to engage with Dara, which probably means about 15 seconds after I say it, it'll be on every single social outlet. But I don't in advance discuss anything I talk about at PP. It is supposed to be a private meeting.
Just going back to the key thing was the cabinet meeting next week. What would you want to see on the tax side, Eoghan Brin?
We have to see move on stamp duty, on capital gains tax, and also on tax on rent roll. But the more important point here is this.
Like, what kind of a stamp duty hike?
Well, it needs to be significant that it will dissuade people from doing what we've seen in Maynooth.
Well, surely you have a figure in your head on.
There's a bigger point to be made here, which is this. Pat Farrell made a really important point.
You're not going to give me the figure in your head?
I'm not going to give you the figure in my head. Pat Farrell made a really important point.
Why won't you say what you'd like to see?
Because what we need to see is the package of measures, right? And that means we need to see increases in stamp duty and the reintroduction of capital gains tax. Capital gains tax here is key for these properties.
I'm just intrigued as to why you're keeping this your big secret.
That's okay, but
But
can I say this? Pat Farrell said something very important, which is currently the total level of state direct investment in the delivery of social affordable homes is only 1.4 billion. The ESRI on Sunday last called for that to be doubled. The only way we're going to tackle this crisis and give working people homes they can afford, whether to rent or buy, is double capital investment to at least 2.8 billion. If you don't do that, all the affordable housing bills in the world won't matter a damn. It's time for government to invest so people can have homes they can afford to live in.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break there.